Grace, the Amy Santiago of Royal Bloggers.
And I'm Jessica, the Dorothy Sporanath of Royal Bloggers.
And we'd like to welcome you to On Air, the podcast where two cynical Brits discuss the latest royal news and the truth behind the stories. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the On Air podcast. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode, which was very... I was going to say it was very topical, but it was like half topical, half... We forgot to do it the week before topical. But this week, we are going to look at another topical thing that has happened recently, which is the Swedish Crown Princess couple's visit to the United Kingdom and some of the highlights that have happened during that three-day trip.
Yes. So, shall we just go into it?
Let's go for it.
Yes. So, they kicked off the first day of their visit with a meeting in an undisclosed location somewhere in southeast England with Ukrainian soldiers who are being trained in the UK by Swedish soldiers. Oh, God. Swedish soldiers. This is a real tongue twister. Swedish soldiers. There we go. As part of Operation Interflex. Then they went and did a pub lunch at Wooditon in Cambridgeshire, learned about pub culture and the history and culture of East Anglia, which is the area that Cambridgeshire is in. Then they went to Imperial College Translation and Innovation Hub and NATO's Defence Innovation Accelerator for the North Atlantic, which is called Diana, which focuses on innovation in defence and security. Then a reception for the International Maritime Organization, because Sweden's put itself forward as a candidate to be a member of the council for the organization. And then finally a dinner at the Natural History Museum on sustainability. Well, that was the theme of the dinner, hosted by Business Sweden and the Swedish Embassy ahead of COP28. Did I miss anything?
Nope, that is exactly what I have.
Perfect. So rather than sort of going through each individual event, because there were some things that there's less to talk about than others. There's some that like only a few photographs have come through and they came through quite late and they don't really show anything very interesting anyway. We're going to kind of pick up some of the things that we, some of the themes or some of the events that we particularly enjoyed or noticed or thought were notable. And I think the first thing I thought about was like from the very beginning of this tour, you could see it as being a continuation of what we talked about in our last episode. So in our last episode, we talked about Crown Princess Victoria's visit to Germany and her speech at the Bundestag and how significant that was and how like the timing of it, because Sweden is really trying to align itself with lots of other countries in Europe at the moment. And there seems to be a really big push for that. And that's kind of what I got from this first day, because like there was the meeting around Ukraine. There was, you know, something about NATO, which Sweden has recently joined. There was the International Maritime Organization. So it felt really like, oh, we're Sweden's international now.
Yeah, I did sort of say, go, NATO again?
Again.
No one does this much for NATO. It's just like non-stop NATO. Yeah, there was definitely like a real like, international theme running through the whole event. And like, yeah, it definitely felt like it followed on from the speech at the Bundestag with going straight in with like the military, even though it was in England. But being trained, I have no idea why there are Ukrainian soldiers being trained in England with Swedish, by Swedish soldiers. That is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I think it's,
you go for it.
I think from what I could tell, there's a few different countries who are sending people to train Ukrainian soldiers, but maybe we just have like the facility. I don't know. And it's apparently the first time that Swedish soldiers have trained, I got it that time, have trained anybody like outside of Sweden. So that's, I guess, quite significant. And I think like it's not that Sweden hasn't been cooperative or that they're kind of been closed off or that they haven't been important or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I think particularly in military matters, Sweden has had a policy of neutrality for a very long time. And so joining NATO was a massive, massive thing, like to the point that Russia was like, well, if Sweden and Finland join NATO, that's it for Europe. I'm going to kill you all, was sort of his response, because he didn't like that. Because it is quite a big step. If you join NATO, you're then like, there's a commitment that like if one country in NATO goes to war, you kind of all join in. So it was a big thing for Sweden to join in with that. And I think it's quite significant for them to be going to so many sort of NATO events, international military events, and like pushing to join the Council of the International Maritime Organization. It just, it feels like Sweden's really trying to join the club a bit more in some areas where it wasn't previously. And Victoria seems to be the face of that, because she was the one at the Bundestag, not the king. She's the one doing all these things in the UK and not the king. And obviously the king is very important, but it just feels quite significant to me that Victoria seems to be given this task of being the face of Sweden's campaign to be more internationally cooperative.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I'm not going to say like King Carl Gustaf is really, really old, so they're not, they've moved on to the next generation, but it does feel like they're like this, when they're looking forward to the future, and the future is Queen Victoria. So they're very much like, you lead this and we'll just sort of support you in your efforts.
Yeah. I mean, she is very good at the international diplomacy. She did study it and all that stuff. So, you know, not that Carl Gustaf is terrible at it, again, but you use all the, you use all the assets you have in your arsenal, I suppose. So that was the first thing that came out to me when I was looking at the whole day. In terms of some personal highlights, my cat is currently on my lap purring, so I don't know if the microphone will pick that up, but if you hear any noises, that's him. I have to say, I loved that they went on a pub lunch.
Oh yeah, me too. My favourite thing.
It was amazing.
I just can't get over the concept of, well, I love the concept, but could you imagine if I went somewhere and I was like, yeah, I'm here to discuss pub culture.
Yeah.
That's my international job.
This tour, we know how state visits are organised. Short working tours like this are a bit more messy. We don't know exactly who organises which parts. So I presume that there was some kind of, you know, the UK putting forward, this is what we would like you to do. And I just think it's really funny to imagine that some politician in the UK or some like civil servant was like, right, what does the UK have to offer? Alcohol. I just thought that was very on brand for us. But I guess I also like, I think I probably took pub culture for granted a little bit, because I forget that other countries don't necessarily all have the same attitude to pubs and alcohol. And, you know, if you go to other countries, it's more like bars, or I'd forgotten that like pub culture isn't universal.
Oh yeah, it's not, is it?
Yeah, but like I always think of myself as like, well, of course every country drinks, so every country must have pubs that they go and drink in. But actually this idea of like a local pub that's been there for several hundred years, and you know, this local community all go to it, and like, I don't know, it just, it is actually very, it's hard to describe it, but it is quite unique.
I just like the fact that it was a full pub lunch. Like they didn't visit a pub and go in and like shake the hand of the landlady and be like, pull a pint. Or if they did pull a pint. Pub lunch, like, that's the most British thing I can think of.
Definitely. And it's actually, like, it might sound silly. So I mean, I don't know. Do we need to explain what a pub is?
I don't know. I don't know how... I know they don't have like pubs in America. They have Irish pubs in places, because every time you go anywhere, they're like, go to the local Irish pub.
Yeah.
We have pubs too.
I'm going to look up the definition of pub. A drinking establishment licensed to serve alcoholic drinks for consumption on the premises. Well, I mean, there's lots of places that do that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a tavern. If you an old... things, you know, there's like a, you know, it's very, it's a part of British culture, and actually it's more of a serious issue than people might think, because pub culture is actually quite a big political issue over here. Of like, there's been a lot of right-wing parties which have kind of championed pub landlords, people who own pubs, and, you know, tried to get fairer tax or better tax situations, or, you know, because there's been a, there are a huge number of pubs in the UK, but there's also been a huge number of pubs closing. And a lot of people, particularly on the right, see this as like an indication of the downfall of traditional British culture, and have made it like a hot button political issue. And so actually, weirdly, considering it's just a place where you go and drink, it's actually not only culturally important, but also like it's quite a politically sensitive issue. It's more serious than it might seem.
Yeah, I like how they like managed to combine the, I did write down like the traditional pint pulling appearance that all royals do in any kind of drinking establishment where they pull a pint. And I did think Victoria did a very good job. I was judging. I was like, yeah, I'll give you some credit for that one. But I think, you know, like pubs are a real sort of sensor that they're supposed to be like a community hub, and mm-hmm. like a proper local pub is a community hub, like if it's not a branded one.
Yeah.
And, you know, there'll be locals and all of that. And I think it kind of linked in really well with their kind of theme of like, I know they were going international community, but it was very much like the whole trip was about people sort of like coming together and doing different people's cultures. And I was like, yeah, that's a pub. That's what a pub is. You've got this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So it is actually quite a serious and important issue, but also it did just make me laugh that like the first day they were like, how do we want to sell Britain on the international stage? Pubs, drinking. Yeah. And yes, you're right. Victoria did both of them actually pulled some pints, which I've never actually done. I've never pulled a pint because I never worked as a waitress or anything. So I'd probably be useless at it. But they also sort of had like a photo moment and drank a little bit of beer. Neither of them seemed massively impressed with the British beer on offer, which I think is quite fair because I actually really hate beer. I can't drink it.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, so I don't think I would have enjoyed that part of the engagement. It's like whenever they go to Ireland, the royals, and they always have to drink Guinness, like I would pull a face and then I'd offend the entirety of Ireland and it would just be really bad. So
yeah, I'd be like, this tastes like batteries.
Yeah.
And then I'd get thrown out of Ireland very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I thought that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I do. I very much want to know what they had for their pub lunch because in my head it's a carvery.
Of course,
I don't know if it was a carvery or not.
So again, I'm not sure. I feel like I'm either talking down to people because they probably already know, or they'll have no idea what's going on for most of this episode. Carveries, like, how do you describe it? I have to Google what a carvery is. How do you describe a carvery? A carvery is a buffet or restaurant where cooked joints of meat are displayed and carved as required in front of customers. So it's like a buffet, but you go up and you'll be like, oh, I'd like some beef, please. And they cut off a bit of beef for you. It's very like Sunday lunch, traditional British food. They're all like gluten-free and vegetarian and stuff. So it's probably like a nut roast. They would have to go to Cambridge to get a nut roast. If you went to some places in the UK, they'd be like, nope, we don't have any vegan or vegetarian options.
Like, we do lamb or mushroom pie.
Yeah.
That's our only option.
I like that. So my only other note was just about the evening event at the Natural History Museum. I'm so jealous. Can I just say that? That was the only thing. Like, I didn't really pay much attention to what they did there, but I love the Natural History Museum, and I think it would be such a cool place to go for, like, a private evening event. So, like, get all dressed up and get free rein to talk to all of the dinosaur skeletons. Like, that would be amazing.
I know, I was like, okay, sustainable dinner with business people. Yes, yeah, like, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I was like, at the Natural History Museum? That's nothing to do with Sweden or business.
I know, and it's just down the road from the... It's just down the road from the Science Museum. That would have made more sense to me.
Yeah. I was just like, that makes no sense. Why are they there? But I was very jealous. I always get jealous. I remember watching, completely off topic now, but some like Channel 4 programme where a bunch of comedians slept overnight in the Natural History Museum. And I was like, you are living my dream right now.
So jealous. It's just so cool. It's big dinosaurs. And it's one of my favourite museums because it's so interactive. I did see a little clip of them like being given a tour and sort of jumping on some of the interactive displays to learn facts about dinosaurs. I was just like, this is so fun.
Yeah. Like, I would like to go walk around in a cocktail dress at the National History Museum, learn about dinosaurs by myself. That's my dream.
Yeah. I would make evening events much more exciting because I imagine once you've been to a few, they're probably quite boring, you know, and having to make small talk with people all the time. But it's much easier to make small talk with boring people if there are dinosaurs around.
Yeah, I like the fact it was a sustainable dinner. I like to think at some point someone was like, if we don't be sustainable, this will be us, these skeleton dinosaurs, that's humans. Come on, guys. Yeah. Like, that was they were there for dramatic effect. Like, do you want to be a dinosaur? Mm-hmm.
Or, like, oil. Doesn't oil come from...
Yeah, from dinosaur skeletons.
Yeah. Things. I'm trying to remember my lessons from school, like under the water, something like that. I don't
Yeah,
know.
so like smushed down by rocks.
Yeah, and it becomes oil somehow. So maybe they were like, these dinosaurs
Are
represent.
ruining the environment.
Yeah.
All that oil.
Oh, their fault. Yes, but other than that, I didn't have much on the first day. Shall we do day two? Do
Day two.
you want me to do that or do you want to do it?
I'll start. I might miss some things. I'll do my
Yeah,
best.
no problem.
So for day two, they began by having breakfast with Mindler, who are a Swedish company, online therapy company, who are based in the UK now. Then they went to Windsor Castle to meet the Prince and Princess of Wales. Then they went back to London to go to Kew Gardens, where they planted a tree, as all good royals do. Then they had a Swedish-British summit meeting thing happened, and then they went to the Royal Variety Performance in the evening again with the Prince and Princess of Wales.
Yes. I mean, minor observational note, this was not a very efficient day. Because they were in London and then they were in Windsor and then they were back in London. Like, that's not a lot. That's a random order of things.
Yeah, I was like, why have they gone to Windsor
Yeah.
when everyone is going to London in the evening anyway? And
Yeah.
why are they not doing the meeting just before they all go to the same Royal Variety Performance? Someone
Yes.
did not plan that very well.
No, I know. They could have changed in Windsor Castle. There's enough bedrooms. Yeah. Didn't make any sense to me. Yes. Well, I mean, the first significant, well, both, the only significant things really for me. This sounds terrible, like I didn't follow it. I did follow every single engagement and I did look at photographs and videos and things from every single engagement. It's just that, it isn't that interesting to be like, and then they planted a tree and then they spoke to some people, but we don't actually know what they said when they spoke to, that's not that interesting. The highlights were undoubtedly the moments between the Crown Princess couple, Victoria and Daniel, and William and Kate, obviously.
Yeah, it's like, duh, that's what everyone was like waiting for.
That's what, yeah, exactly. So, for some background, William and Kate went to Sweden in 2018. It was a very successful tour. They were mostly hosted by Victoria and Daniel. And it spawned the birth of Vicate, which is the name I came up with. To describe the close, relationship between the Crown Princess Victoria and Kate, and yes, so they had this like love moment in 2018. Everyone was obsessed with it, and we've all sort of been waiting for the last 5 years for a moment when they'd be brought back together to sort of renew their love, and I thought when the coronation happened, I was looking at all the photographs to be like, Victoria's in the same room as Kate. Are they talking to each other? Is that, are they back together? And we didn't get a single photograph of them together during the coronation stuff.
They've been in the same room like so many times, like for Philip's memorial service, for like the Queen's funeral, for the coronation, for the pre-coronation events, for Raja and Hussein's wedding. They were always together, but just never actually physically in pictures together.
Exactly. And it was infuriating. And I have been waiting 5 years for this. And finally, we got a proper reunion.
It's been so long.
It's been so long. It's been 83 years. What's that? No, that is Titanic. Anyway, so before I get into that, the sort of moment of reunion, I do just want to talk very briefly about what Victoria was wearing.
She looked good. I like that jacket.
She was wearing like a blazer. We will post some pictures and things, but she was wearing a blazer, which like red with sort of white bits and black lining and things. And it reminded me of the like household cavalry, the soldiers who stand outside the palaces. The little red blazer things they wear.
It reminds me of Emma Bunton if she was an aristocrat. I think she is now. I don't know. But yeah, give me Baby Spice vibes.
Okay, both interesting cultural references that are very British, I suppose. So either one, depending on which one of us is right, it could have been a nod to the military who are associated with the royal family, or to Emma Bunton. So
like both very important.
Both very important, equally important, I think, to British society. But yeah, no, so I liked that because I thought it was like a potential little nod without being, you know, Camilla at Chooping the Colour earlier this year just wore like a costume, a women's costume of the men's uniform, which I didn't actually hate, but it was very on the nose. Whereas I felt like this was this was subtle enough that obviously, you know, other people can have different interpretations.
Yeah, I went solidly Spice Girls.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, it was very, like, I thought it was such a Victoria look. Like, it was 100% something she would wear any other day.
But she wore it, like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's not a new thing. But it's also perfect for meeting members of the British royal family in Windsor Castle. Like, it matched very well to the occasion.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and Kate wore green. I won't talk about her dress because it's really boring. But she wore green, so it was very, like, festive as well. Unintentionally. But actually, to get to the actual point of the moment, obviously we only really got like photographs. We didn't get like a video of the entire thing, but from the photographs it looked as if there was a very warm reception between the couple. As you know, I just, part of me had worried that maybe, you know, they'll meet up again and it'll all be very formal and no one will be smiling, and it will just dash all of my hopes that they'll run away with each other and leave their husbands or enter some sort of foursome. I'd be okay with that. But no, they were super smiley, going in for big hugs and kisses. And it did seem like a, you know, a much warmer reception than you might have for some of the politicians that they meet. So clearly, like, they do have a good relationship.
Yeah, I think I always like the I obviously love the relationship between Kate and Victoria, but I also really like the relationship between William and Victoria.
Yeah,
and I remember really liking it when they were in Sweden, because they would just be walking together having a chat, and then Kate and Daniel would be like, "So, that's our partners, eh? Future royals, future monarchs, and it's us." I was kind of starved of Kate and Daniel interactions because clearly no one realised that that would be the money shot, but I'll take it. I'll take Kate and Victoria until this point. So they'll just have to meet up again within the next 5 years so I can get more Kate Daniel photos.
Well, yes. I mean, I'll be honest. It was slightly disappointing. I was very pleased to see them all together. That was lovely. And they were very warm and happy and cheerful with each other. And that's lovely. But I would have liked a proper video, firstly.
yeah, of course.
And secondly, now I'm not going to judge anybody for this because before anybody sort of like listens and starts to attack me, this is not like a criticism. It's just a, oh, it would have been nice if this had happened. So when William and Kate went to Sweden, they had sort of a similar equivalent, a meeting at the house with Victoria and Daniel, and also Estelle and Oscar, Victoria and Daniel's children. And we got to see them saying hello to William and Kate and sitting down and stuffing their face with biscuits while the adults had a conversation. a little part of me had hoped that like they would return the favor and the children would make an appearance, or even just the dog, you know, I'd be happy with the dog.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought if we couldn't have the kids, where's Orla? Bring Orla around.
I mean, I respect the fact that they're in school, but I also think if I was the headmaster of Lambrook, I would have given the children a half day to meet the future Queen of Sweden, especially as it's right before Christmas, so all they do is colouring in and nativity rehearsals anyway. So I would have given them a half day.
Yeah, and even if you didn't, it's not like they can't afford to pay the fine.
Well, exactly.
Like, that's a £60 fine. Like, damn it, can't do it. Sorry, kids. Off you go.
Money's tight this month. Like, no. I'm sure that it's like the principle of it, but I just, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, but they're putting their children's education first. And it's like, yeah, but it's the end of November. Like, I cannot tell you how much of a write-off the last few weeks of term are, or they were when I was at school. I don't know. You're the teacher.
I mean, we've got a few things to go. But yeah, there's definitely carol concerts and stuff going on. They could just say like, yeah, don't, they just have to skip the carol concert and write their poems in that time instead.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's worth it going to meet Victoria Daniel.
And it's just down the road anyway, so they would probably only have to miss like a couple of hours.
Yeah, they weren't there very long. They had breakfast and they were off to Kew Gardens by the afternoon. So what, like, they would have gone from break to lunch? What did you do then? Maths? One maths lesson? It's fine.
Well, world fall apart if you miss one maths lesson. So, they would take him out if he had a dentist appointment, and I think Crown Princess Victoria is more important than the health of your teeth. Just saying.
I agree. I think that is a true fact.
So yes, no, I mean, it was very lovely. It was lovely to see them together. It's lovely to see that they genuinely do have these positive relationships, because you can't really fake that to that extent, I don't think. You can't fake it in every single shot to be beaming and smiling and happy with it. You know, there's always going to be one where you look miserable if you were faking it. So I, you know, it was really nice to see that. But I would have just maybe liked a video or a dog or a child or something like that, because when they did their trip to Scandinavia, Norway and Sweden and things, they both did like something with a dog or something with the children, and it would have been nice. But you can't have everything you
Bring the
want.
dogs next time is what
Bring
I'm
the
getting from
dogs.
this.
We haven't talked about dogs in ages. We used to be like
I know.
every week in this podcast. It was like, okay, well, we want some dogs.
We've had quite a long period with no children's birthday photos.
Yes.
The good old young adult birthday photos, so they get their own ones, but
The only other thing I wanted to say about that was, when I've seen some commentary online asking about why they only met William and Kate and they didn't meet Charles and Camilla, which I think I understand the question, because if when Charles and Camilla went to the UK, when he was heir to the throne many years ago, not to the UK, went to Sweden many years ago, when he was still heir to the throne, they were received by the King and Queen of Sweden. And, you know, when Kate went to Denmark and she was just on a working visit, and at the time William was heir to the heir, he wasn't even the heir, she met with Queen Margrethe. So I think for a lot of people who are perhaps primarily fans of the Scandinavian royals and don't really pay much attention to the British royals, I saw some people being like, oh, well, this is a bit of a snub, isn't it? This is a bit of offensive that Victoria, you know, when the heirs of the British throne go over to Sweden, they get to meet the monarch, but when the heirs of the Swedish throne come to Britain, they only meet William and Kate. But I think it's just a function of like how the royal families work differently. The British royals have so many different members that it seems like their policy is less about like, well, we send the highest people, and is more about sending the people who are most appropriate. And given that Victoria and Daniel have a close relationship with William and Kate and are at the same level as them, it just seemed to make more sense. And also Charles was quite busy and
yeah, I'm fairly sure he was in Dubai, but not in the continent.
I don't know if he'd actually, I didn't follow that really, so I don't know if he'd actually left or anything. But even like, you know, Camilla, like, was quite busy, and also not really any more special than William, you know, because she's only got her job through who she married. William at least is the heir. So I don't know. I wouldn't take it as a slight. I think it's just one. It, you know, a lot of people have this attitude that like the Brits are horrible and standoffish and hate everyone else, and sometimes that is true. But I also think sometimes it's just they're a different kind of royal family than, you
Yeah,
know, Scandinavians.
the Brits just do things a bit weird. Like every time especially now, I pay more attention to other royal families for this podcast. There's a lot of similarities between the way that other royals do literally everything, and the Brits are just complete outliers in almost every field. It's just them. It's just their little thing.
I mean, of course, things are going to be different if you've got like essentially two working royals, like you've got in Spain, versus in the UK, where there's like 11 who do some level of royal work. You know, you're going to be able to pick and choose who goes to different engagements based on who is the most important, but you also will be able to do it based on who has the most interest, who is available, who has a connection to this particular thing. And it's just sort of about like sharing it out amongst the family. So I don't know, it felt perfect, like it made perfect sense to me. Even if Charles had been in the UK, it would have made perfect sense to me that they didn't meet him, because it was being hosted by Kate and William. And that in the UK, that is not a downgrade from meeting the King and Queen, whereas it might be in other countries.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. The next big event was the Royal Variety Performance in the evening. I'm going to have to look up what this is as well. I know what it is, but you know what I mean. I didn't write any of this in my notes. I didn't think about this at all.
It's a variety performance, and it is to raise funds for the Royal Variety Charity, which provides grants to people in the entertainment industry who are on hard times. And also they give money to each year, they pick a local charity to also split their money with. So this year it was a care home for older people in the London area. Not sure where, but yes. So,
And I think the, I don't know, again, like culturally, I think a lot of the countries used to have variety shows, but they've sort of gone out of fashion. But it's kind of like it's rooted in like vaudeville, of kind of you would go to the theatre, but instead of seeing a play or, you know, a live singer or whatever, you would have lots of different things. So you'd have a comedy double act, then you'd have a ventriloquist, then you'd have a magician. And it was a, so it was a variety show, like you were seeing a variety of things. And that now it's all televised and stuff, but that sort of concept is something that is still quite big in the UK of sort of, you know, having a show where you go and see a lot of different things. So the Royal Variety Performance, as Grace said, it's a fundraising event. It's attended by the royals and has been for a very long time. But the core of it is sort of like you go and watch lots of different people perform lots of different things. There might be an acrobat, there might be a comedian, there might be a magician, there might be somebody who trains their dog to sing, you know, all sorts of things.
I spent a lot of time being like, I can't imagine going to Victoria. We know we spoke last year that Victoria and Daniel are not fluent in English. So going to another country and then be like, oh, come to this one thing we go to every year, and sitting there, not really knowing what's going on, not being able to understand it, but also being in the royal box where all the cameras are on you and being like, okay, this is weird. That's what they do in England.
Yeah, sadly, yes. Well, I mean, first thing I wrote down, I didn't really talk about the fashion in any great deal, but I did just want to say that Victoria looked amazing.
Yes, I thought they both looked very
I didn't like Kate's dress, but I'm not going to dwell on it. I just
good.
wanted to mention Victoria's because it's positive, and I also thought that she, I've written down in capital letters, Victoria looked amazing, like a sexy gorilla.
That's a very sexy gorilla look.
Yeah, I mean, we're used to the Brits where, I mean, they used to wear tiaras to this event, so it's all very sort of quite formal, and you know what Brits normally wear, what Kate normally wears. Whereas Victoria's was like there was a split up the leg, there was off the shoulder, it was like low back. It was very racy, not for her and not for Sweden, but for the UK, it was quite racy. And I was like, yes, bring a bit of daring, bring a bit of risque fashion to our stuffy British events, please. And it, yeah, once you see the photographs, you'll understand why. It just has the, like, it was black and it had like a texture that reminded me of a gorilla. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, I do see that. I did think she looked very good. I did think she also, I was like, how are you wearing that? I know you're from Sweden, where it is colder, but it was like 1 degree. And she's just like chilling, shoulders out, legs out, back out. Honestly,
I know, I
very
have no
impressed.
idea. They're royals just, they don't sweat. They're never cold. They can all walk in heels. None of them ever go to the bathroom. I don't know what it is. They're just robots. Yeah, I mean, I think the event itself was a weird one, because it was recorded and it will be televised. So I will definitely be watching it, but we didn't really get to see a great deal of what happened inside, you know, up until now. So from what we've seen, you know, there was a couple of like lovely glances across the room and like kisses on the cheek when they came and left, but they did sit like miles apart. And they didn't, they were sitting down watching a show for the most of it, so they didn't really get a lot of interaction between them.
Yeah, the Royal Variety Performance is such a weird event because it's not about the royals, because it is about the performance, but you're also very conscious of the fact the royals are there, and very occasionally people on the stage will be like, hello up there, Your Majesty, when it was the Queen. And I want to know if they're going to be like, hello up there, Swedish people, because they're like double the royals here. We've got four royals in attendance. They don't have that often. What are we doing with this?
At least they're all Royal Highnesses. It's not like, you know, if it was Monaco visiting and they'd be like, Your Royal Highnesses and Your Serene Highnesses, and you know.
Yeah, they'd be like, Your Royal Highness, this is all of you.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So it was, yeah, it was an odd event. It's always like that. I think this is the case whenever they go to like a premiere or anything like this, where it's like, it's lovely to see them. They've got a couple of moments together, but the vast majority of it is just them sitting down in a dark room. So there's not, we don't get to see too much. I will be watching the variety just to, I don't normally, but just in case there's some moments that I might be able to notice. They did get to meet Cher though.
Yeah, I was like, is Cher really big in Sweden? Because so many of the Royal Variety acts are like British stars, like I don't, like Bradley Walsh, and
Oh, don't.
you know, I don't know if Bradley Walsh is big in Sweden.
I'm glad you mentioned it because I hate Bradley Walsh.
I have no strong opinions on the man, if I want.
For people who don't know, Bradley Walsh is the guy who presented it, and he is a TV presenter. He presents a very popular game show called The Chase. He also is an actor. He's been in a few things, but he does mostly TV presenting stuff now, to be honest, because The Chase is massive. And he is like a national treasure. Everyone seems to love him. And when you look at like the comments, he's loads of there's loads of viral videos of him laughing hysterically about funny answers on the quiz show. And in the comments, everyone's like, "Oh, I love Bradley, love Bradders. He's so funny." I cannot stand him, and I feel like I'm the only person in the entire United Kingdom who cannot stand Bradley Walsh. He's so immature. He just laughs at like it's like okay, it's a bit funny, but it's not that funny. You're over the top. Calm down. Cannot. And I think Victoria deserves Order of the Garter just for sitting in a room with Bradley Walsh for an hour.
I liked how she came away. She was like, I'm never going back if Bradley Walsh is there ever again.
I don't think Sweden should invest in the United Kingdom anymore because if that's the kind of people, I could put up with getting sent to drink beer, but being in a room with Bradley, oh no, thank you. Just I don't. I just can't. So yeah, that's my Brad. I'm glad that you mentioned him because I had him in my notes and I was like, am I going to rant about how much I dislike somebody that most of our podcast listeners will never have heard of? But I had to get it out.
Just like you need the world to know you're
I
putting up
need the
Bradley
world
Walsh.
to know. But yeah, that will be televised. I don't know exactly when. Do you know when it's televised?
19th of December, I just looked.
Okay.
17th of December. It was a Sunday. So yeah, December.
Perfect. I don't. I assume that that will be available for other people to watch at some point, just to see if there's any like jokes about Victoria or like sneaky moments between them that we get to see. But it'll probably just be, yeah, some acrobats and weird stuff. So the third and final day, they started off at Cranfield University with at the School of Aerospace and Digital Aviation Research Technology Centre, which is the longest name I've ever heard, to learn about Swedish-British cooperation around the transition to sustainable green transport. Then they went to a lunch at the embassy, which was celebrating or talking about a memorandum of understanding that Sweden and Britain had signed about life sciences in 2022. And then they went for fika, which is like coffee and a cake, basically, as to sort of mark the start of Advent at the Church of Sweden. And yeah, I think after all the excitement of the previous day, which was mostly them getting to see William and Kate again, this day was a little bit more subdued.
Yeah, final days of tours and working visits are always so boring. It's like they just run out of things to do. So you know, like when you're waiting to go like fly home from a holiday, and you're like, well, my flight leaves at 7, so I've got to be at the airport for 3, so I should probably get ready to leave for 12, and I've got to stop doing my activity at 10. So really, there's no point doing anything. It gives me those vibes.
Yes, definitely. Like even the first day, which didn't have any William and Kate, I still really liked the pub lunch, and I thought that what they were doing that day felt really significant because it was about this sort of this, Sweden putting out its stall and kind of saying, "Hey, everyone, Sweden's here. Come and be friends with us," which has been happening a lot over the last year. Whereas this last day, I mean, for example, why are they meeting to celebrate an agreement that happened a year ago at the embassy for lunch, but they didn't actually really seem to learn any to do anything to do with life sciences or the agreement. It just seemed to be, we're going to have the lunch, and it's because of the life sciences agreement. Yeah, sure, it definitely is. It just felt like they added this random thing in that didn't like it happened a year ago, guys.
I was like, none of this trip has been about planes. Where's the
Yeah.
plane thing come from? And also, I was really annoyed because all they'd been showing on the news for the last like 3 weeks was about Concorde. So I was like, I don't want to hear anything else about planes for the rest of my life.
What's happening with Concorde? Sorry, I'm going to make a joke about it.
It's like 30th anniversary or something. Ooh. Or like the 10th anniversary. I don't know what it was. But I was home ill. So I was at home. And it was I think it must have been, it's like 30-year anniversary or 10-year not being open anniversary or something. But it was on non-stop for days and days and days on our local news because it was built and lives in nearby in the southwest. And everyone knows someone who worked on Concorde when it was being built, like both of my grandparents did. It's just like it was non-stop, and it got to the point where it'd be like the news. So Concorde, I was like, I don't want to hear anything else about this stupid plane.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear about it. So I'm very anti-planes for a short while. I'll get over it eventually. Don't want to hear anything about planes.
That's news. I remember Concorde, and it was massive. It was like it was huge. It was like I can't even describe how much everybody wanted to go on Concorde. I do know somebody who went on a Concorde flight, and you know, yeah, because she was very rich, you know. So they would go on Concorde every time they went to the US, which was like at least once a year. How the other half live.
I now know you got a certificate every time you flew on Concorde. So I know all about Concorde. I'm a Concorde expert.
Yeah.
Don't need to know about planes that much.
Yeah, it I mean it was very impressive. Why don't they still have Concorde? Because I would love to go to the US in like 10 minutes or whatever it was it did.
I think it just cost a lot of money.
Yeah. And I suppose like rich people probably want their own planes now, don't they? Yeah. It's not right. Maybe it's not as much of an audience. Oh well. I mean, they should spend more money on that than trying to fly into space.
Yeah, less space, more Concorde.
Yes, please. But I did like the FICA though. So FICA is a very particular concept, which I said it means coffee and a cake. That's kind of briefly what it means, but it's basically like bonding with other people over coffee and a cake. So it's you can't fika on your own. You can't have fika at your desk. And apparently it's a really big thing in Sweden of like businesses all over the country will stop for fikas. I guess it's like, you know, how Spain has its siesta where lots of businesses still stop for people to have a siesta, especially if it's like quite a manual labor kind of thing. Like the siesta is still a thing that people do. I think it's a bit like that, of like it's very ingrained in the Swedish culture. So it was nice that they were able to kind of celebrate it over here. And I just like, I'm so jealous of the Scandinavians because there's also hygge. Is that how you pronounce it? Which is the Danish.
Yes.
The Danish word that describes the feeling of like being inside and cozy and relaxed. And like, it's, you can't really describe it in English in one word. And fika is quite a similar thing of it's like about community and getting together and just relaxing and chatting over some nice food. And it's like, I mean, there's a whole thing about kind of, you know, if something is, lots of cultures have words that describe something that can't, it has to be a phrase in English. And it, obviously the fact that they've come up with a whole word for it suggests that it's very important to their culture because they needed one word to describe it because they do it so often. And I just think, well, the fact that so many Scandinavian special words are about like just relaxing. It's like, I just wish I was Scandinavian. We don't have anything like that here.
No, no one ever goes, oh, should we all stop and have cake? I would love that. Whenever we have cake in the staff room, everyone's like, oh, I want a diet. It's so sad. And I'm like, guys, stop going on about that. I just want to eat the cake. I ate like an entire pack of bourbons by myself because no one else was eating them the other day. And I was like, they're going to go to waste, guys. These are for me.
Yeah, it's just, it's not fair that they have all these cool words for like just hanging out and relaxing. It just must be very important to the Scandinavian culture to just hang out and relax. And I wish it was more important in the British culture. We've got pubs, which is just usually somebody gets drunk and fights somebody else. And that's not as fun.
I was quite impressed with the fact that we had a Church of Sweden in the UK. And I was like, oh, of course we would. And I was like, no, I don't think we actually have a church for every single country in the world. So I didn't know we had a big enough Swedish population to have like a Church of Sweden branch here. But yeah, that was exciting to learn.
Victoria's sister, Princess Madeline, lived in London for a little while and she did a couple of events at the Swedish church. I think it's just probably because it's London.
Oh yeah, multicultural.
Yeah, and also like London has more people than Scotland, so we forget how big it is, and how many different people from all over the world it has. So like, I don't think there's a Swedish church. I'm going to Google this actually. Maybe there is a Swedish church in Edinburgh, but no. I mean, I think there's a lot of Lutheran churches in Scotland anyway, and the Church of Sweden is Lutheran, so it's probably not as bad. But yeah, no, yeah, I think it's quite nice, you know. It seems like from Madeline's visits and also from Victoria's visits that there's quite like a the church community and the Swedish church community is quite vibrant in London, it seems like. So it was nice that she got to be able to go. And yeah, I thought it was a good way to end it of like doing something that is very Swedish, and kind of meeting the Swedish community in London. And it also, yeah, just gave them the opportunity to be very jealous of Swedish people for having a whole word to describe having cake with people.
Yeah, this is a new thing that I want to introduce into my life.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, there was for a while there were people selling books about Hygge and how it was all, this whole
Yeah.
phenomenon, and why don't we have books about Fika?
Just gonna invent like fika
Yeah.
appropriation in the UK.
Cultural appropriation is okay if it involves cake.
Like, no one can be angry about that, it's fine.
Yeah. So, thank you everyone for joining us for this sort of slightly mini episode today. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please excuse our terrible ex descriptions of what a pub was, what a variety show was. It was a very British-centric episode. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. Please do rate us 5 stars. We're loving seeing people who have the podcast in their Spotify Wrapped as one of the most listened to podcasts this year for them. That's so lovely every time we get one. So please, if we were in your top podcast, please do share with us. But other than that, it is a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.